You know, the first thing that struck me when I heard this gospel this evening is how it's talking about the end times and people dying of fright and signs in the heavens and all these bad things going on. And yet we're trying to get ready for Christmas and we're supposed to be like joyful and the Christ child's coming. I mean, does that seem a little bit contradictory to you too? Why do we talk about the judgment coming and Jesus' second coming in the context of his coming as a little child? Why would the church choose these readings for this first Sunday of Advent? And as I began to pray and to think about that, I think the thing that became very clear to me is that it's to get us ready. It's like a practice. A run-through, if you will. Advent is a practice run at getting ready for the second coming. Christmas, a practice run at the second coming. We don't know when the second coming's going to be here. In fact, it says in our gospel tonight to be ready at all times. Because we don't know when Jesus is coming back to judge us. We do know that he will come back to judge us. And so each year at Advent time, we have these 4 weeks to kind of practice getting ready for the second coming. You see, if we can practice getting ready for Jesus' coming and his birth at Christmas, then we prepare our hearts and our minds, our body and our souls to be ready for when he comes again in glory. And how we prepare for Christmas this year is an opportunity to practice how we're going to prepare for the second coming. How we treat this Advent season, brothers and sisters, is how we will treat our preparations for Jesus' coming again in glory. Preparation for this coming must first be done in prayer, as the gospel indicates tonight. You'll see before us, and we'll be blessing it in a few moments, our Advent wreath. And one of my fondest childhood memories, even more so than many of the presents I received as a child, was the Advent wreath that we sat around every evening and prayed at. And the kids would fight over who gets to light the candle that night, especially the boys, because we're all by nature pyromaniacs. It's so funny with the servers in the back. You know, the boys are all like, yeah, I'll light a match. But the girls are all like, Father, will you do it for me? There's something in us as men, right? And we'd love to get around that Advent wreath. And Mom or Dad, often Dad, would lead the prayer. It didn't take long, a minute. And perhaps in our busy lives today, if you don't have time around dinner time, to do it at the end of the day. And when it's done regularly and every day, we prepare ourselves with prayer for the coming of Christ. I've also this Advent purchased booklets that are reflections based on the writings of the same famous Christian author C.S. Lewis. And those are available at all the entrances or exits of the church. There's one per family. You can pick those up after Mass. And it gives you a daily scripture and reflections from the writings of C.S. Lewis for each day of Advent, a way to prepare for Christmas. Lastly, I think as we prayerfully prepare for Christmas, it is imperative, and this has become more and more evident to me this week, that we each have a holy hour that we dedicate to the Lord. I was visiting with a parishioner this past week who told me that every night, he has poor circulation in his legs, and every night he would go to bed, and his wife, it was really cute, they're kind of older, and it was really cute, she said she would snuggle up with him, and his legs would always be very, very cold. And so she would wrap her legs around his to try to warm him up. And they had an adoration hour scheduled, and she would often suggest to him, you know, your legs are, you know, you're having problems with circulation. Why don't you just stay in bed? They had a 2 a.m. holy hour. God bless them for that, right? And he'd say, no, I'm going to get up and go to adoration with you. And every night then, when they got back in bed, on those nights that they had adoration, she says that his legs and his feet would always be so warm that she could barely stand to touch them. Little things like that where you know God is present here in the Blessed Sacrament. And he's there to change not only our souls, but our bodies too. A second way that we need to prepare for the coming of Jesus is with love. And our second reading speaks about this today. And it chooses a particular word when it says that we must abound in love. And that word abound means to set no boundaries on love. And I think this is a particular problem for us sometimes during the holiday season. When we find that we encounter people that maybe it's hard to love or we find unlovable. I know for many of us it's our family members. They drive us nuts. Or perhaps we've had some argument with them or a difficulty with them. We've been hurt by them, and they've never apologized. And we've tried to forgive them, but we just can't seem to get over it. Especially encountering family members at these holidays times can be a challenge to this idea of love having bounds, limits on it. And I would suggest doing one thing. That when you encounter these family members or these friends or people that have hurt you, we can have a tendency to go to one extreme or the other. We can tend to treat them badly or be very quiet or curt with them. We can go to the other extreme of almost being sarcastically nice to them, like we want to rub it in how nice we are, right? But perhaps the thing to do is to simply serve, as Jesus did. Maybe when they walk into house to go up to him and say, can I get you something to drink? Or once they finish their dinner to get up from your place and go clear their spot first. Or to give them a special gift or make a donation to a charity in their name. To just show them a pure act of selfless and undeserving love. And they may have hurt you very deeply. But when you do that and they're totally not expecting it, that's exactly the kind of unconditional love that moves people's hearts to forgiveness and to repentance. Another area where it's sometimes difficult to be abounding in our love is with the poor. And I want to publicly commend tonight the work of our Christ the King Cares Committee over the years. Both those who currently serve on this committee and those who for many, many years served on this committee. Our Christ the King Cares Committee is given the charge of caring for the poor in our parish. Canon Law, the book that governs the law of the church, says that the pastor is responsible for every soul within his boundaries. Not every Catholic, not every Christian soul, every soul. I don't like the weight of that all on my own, so I'm extending it to you. Isn't that nice? That we all take responsibility for that. And especially the poor. Jesus always had what we call a preferential option for the poor. A special love for the poor. You see this in the life of Blessed Teresa of Calcutta. This Christmas, I hope that you'll take advantage of the many opportunities to extend your generosity to the poor. Maybe it's the angel tree in the back of our own church, or those of you who participated this past week with Stuff the Bus. Did you know that there's a small community of people living under the bridge down here at the Big Ditch? They live in tents, ride bikes. And I remember one member of our parish who I'm very proud of who went down there and purchased a room for 1 week for one of the people living down there at a local hotel for when it got cold. Perhaps you might even want to help the poor in our own parish. Maybe come in by the office and say, Father, use this for somebody in our parish who is in need. Love has no bounds. Lastly, our preparation for his coming needs to, in particular, mean getting our own house in order. And the gospel speaks of two things in particular in that we can be getting ready by getting our house in order. And one is not living a sensual life. It speaks particularly of drunkenness and carousing. Now, I'm sure at that time in Paul's community, that was the problem. You can imagine the many problems in our society today that Paul might refer to. And I think in particular, brothers and sisters, and especially parents, this means fighting materialism this time of year. Keeping it simple. Limiting your children to one or two presents, even though you might be able to afford more. And children, this means being satisfied with what God and with what St. Nicholas gives you at Christmas, what your parents give you. You are very blessed to receive any toys at all. Many children in the world do not have that opportunity. But our gospel also speaks of something that I think may be more of a struggle with than materialism, and that's what it calls the anxieties of life. We've talked about this a couple weeks ago. And I asked you this question, which I know many of you have continued to ponder. Do we prioritize our schedules, or do we schedule our priorities? I was reading an interview this last week with Woman of the Year, Marissa Mayer. She's the CEO of Yahoo. And with 3 weeks left in her pregnancy, she took on that role as CEO. Took 2 weeks of maternal leave and got back into the job. And many people criticized her for this. And so she's done a good job since then. And so they interviewed her last week. And they asked her, how do you do this with your family and having a new baby, being a CEO of a struggling company? And she said that she ruthlessly prioritizes. Ruthlessly prioritizes. She said that God comes first, family second, and then her job. And she was citing a famous quote by Green Bay Packers coach Vince Lombardi, who said, there are three things important to every man in this locker room. His God, his family, and the Green Bay Packers in that order. The anxieties of life can pull us in all sorts of directions, as you know, but church and God should not be just another thing that pulls on us. Not just another thing to do. Mass, just not another thing to get to. Or another bill from church. Guys, when we look at church and God in that way, yeah, we're going to want to carouse and drink. Because all it is another thing heaped on the anxieties of life. But when we truly give Jesus first place in our lives, and it's not just a word or an idea in our mind, but it follows through in our actions, then the anxieties lessen, and so does the sin. The gospel today seems to present us with two types of people when it comes to the end of the world. It tells us of people who will die of fright on one hand, and it says that there are people who will hold their head up high. Which will you be? Not holding your head up high out of pride, not looking down on anyone else, but knowing that you've prepared well. That knowing that, hey, every Advent for my whole life, I've been preparing for this coming of Jesus. I am ready. And this is your opportunity right here. This first weekend of Advent begins your opportunity to prepare well for his coming. It's practice time, people. We're not getting ready for a game. We're in a battle for your soul. And the way you prepare for the coming of your Savior this Christmas is the way you will be prepared at His second coming.